This is Radio 4. Sorry. And before you change wavelengths, let me try and tempt you with some of the goodies coming your way. On Thursday, at 2:02, Woman's Hour, where Sue McGregor talks to radical feminist Helen Young about her new science fiction novel, Woman's World, where a warp in the fabric of time causes men to disappear along with every trace of man's existence, his weapons of war, his works of art, and his inventions. Miss Young examines the implications of life in a cave with some radium. At 9:30, Kaleidoscope visits the Tate Gallery to look at The Essential Cubism, Britain's first ever cubist exhibition, which includes major works by Braque, Picasso, Leger, and Oxo. And at 10:30...
We present Son of Cliché, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, starring Christopher Barry, Nick Maloney, Nick Wilton, music by Pete Rose.
Well, that's the lineup for today on 4, and I'm sure many of you are probably asleep with excitement. But now it's time for Consumer Report, the so-called investigative program for alleged consumers.
Welcome to Consumer Report, where we claim to represent your so-called interest and never actually...
Finish your sentence.
We start it. And we bandy about words like so-called...
Self-style.
Alleged.
Claim.
With
ever...
Increasing.
Infuriating.
Frequency. Our first story
tonight concerns a man who
bought a tin of baked beans.
For £28,000. The beans should have cost...
28
pence. The so-called...
Alleged.
Mistake came about when one of the self-styled pricing machines...
Accidentally overpriced everything by 1,000,000%.
Mrs. Jones, who was doing...
her weekend shopping in the same store, is now...
£5.5 billion in debt. She has to pay a staggering £1,000,000...
a day in interest. But now let's open a new can of beans.
The problem of tenuous links in consumer programs.
And speaking of links, that takes us nicely onto golf courses by the sea.
Golf courses, horses for courses, and Aintree.
Aintree. That links us nicely to Liverpool, the home of the Beatles.
Beetles, cockroaches, pest control, and insecticide.
Insecticide, aerosols, aerosol cans, which brings us back to cans and beans.
Now, hang on, wait a minute. We've got back to beans again.
Yes, this is supposed to be the Roger Cook link.
Yes, well... can't we just say, talking of consumerism, here's Roger Cook?
Come on, you've got to get there from baked beans.
Okay, right, hang on. And talking of beans, what do you do with them? You cook them.
Cook, right.
Captain James Cook, discoverer of Australia, Australia, kangaroos.
No, you've gone past it now.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
Look, hang on, I'll do it. Kangaroos, warm-blooded marsupials who carry their young in a pouch, just like Roger Cook of Checkpoint. Hello, my name's Roger Cook of Checkpoint, and I want you to punch me in the face.
What? What are you on about?
Are you denying it, Mr. Dunning? Are you denying it? Go on. Come on, hit me on the nose.
Who are you?
Answer my questions. Come on, hit me.
But I don't know you.
But I know you, Mr. Dunning. You're a very hard man to trace. Why have you never returned my phone calls, Mr. Dunning?
You're the bloke who wanted my secretary to swear at him down the phone, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I suppose I deserve a damn good thrashing for it.
You're a loony, you are.
Ah, I suppose you're going to slam the door on me, are you?
No, not till you get your nose out of the door latch.
Frightened that you might break it, eh? What are you hiding, Mr. Dunning?
What are you accusing me of?
I'm accusing you of wanting to hit me in the face, Mr. Dunning, and don't deny it. You might not have felt like it at the beginning, but it's wetting up inside you the more I talk to you. Go on, hit me in the face, go on, pick me up. Or have you got something to hide, Mr. Dunning?
I haven't got anything to hide.
Then why won't you punch me?
Right, I will.
Oh! Why are you punching me, Mr. Dunning? Oh! That one was a belter, absolute cracker. Hang on, just let me spit out my teeth. Right, go on, hit me again. Oh, lovely. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Harty.
Good evening, welcome. Now then, on the show tonight, as usual, and marvellous, what a lovely audience. Next week, on tonight, as usual, I'll be perspiring a lot and getting in a bit of a tizzy. Now then, clasp my hands together in mock surprise. My first guests, if I can be forgiven for describing them as my first guests, are the much underrated songwriting duo who've churned out endless hits, songs you've all heard, but you've probably never come across composers. It gives me unparalleled pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Bradley and Keeling?
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
Lovely. Nice.
Very, very nice. It's lovely.
All right, Mum.
Thank you, gentlemen. Marvellous. Oh, yes, thank you, gentlemen. Welcome and stay tuned. You don't mind if I sweat, do you? Yes, I sweat a lot. And now that you're right, do you not? Those wonderful words and music to Football Terrace chants.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now tell me, gentlemen, will you not? What was your very first big hit?
Well, our first one was 1-0, 1-0.
Yeah, that was our... Yeah, that was our first success, yeah.
And how did it go again?
1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
I think we've got the gist of that, lovely. Which you followed up, did you not, with another success?
Yeah, that's about it. That's an approximation. The next one we wrote was 2-0, 2-0.
And dare I say, how did that go?
Oh, that went... 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0.
But then a succession of flops, were there not?
Yeah, well, we released 14-6, 14-6. Well, that got nowhere.
Yeah. 893-0, that never really took off, neither.
But then a change of look when you came up with that evergreen ballad with a haunting lyric that remains as popular today. Yes, thank you. Which remains as popular today as it was when you first wrote it. You're going to get your effing heads kicked in.
Right.
Why did that catch on while 14-6 failed?
Well, it's hard to say, really. Obviously, it's a clever lyric.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of Cole Porter, whom we was influenced by at the time.
Yeah, but the main thing was, I think, it was very catchy and easy to hum while you're attacking people.
And you're kicking effing people's heads.
Of course, I know what you mean. After 4 years' absence from the music scene, just let me mop my brow and bring out me hanky in this bucket. That's better. You returned, did you not, with an absolute triumph, 16-part madrigal for Manchester United supporters.
The idea was the scoreboard end sang in canon with the cantilever stand, while the Stretford end provided the tenors and contortos for a counterpoint.
Initially, we thought it was too ambitious, and indeed it ended up with 14 stabbings and a pitch invasion. But eventually, we got it right.
Yeah. Indeed you did, gentlemen, marvellous. And to close the show tonight, the latest opus from Bradley and Keeling, a new version of Come On, You Reds, Bradley and Keeling.
Oh,
This is Radio 4, I'm afraid. And now before the next program, yet another trail. At 3:02, Afternoon Theatre presents Fingers of an Autumn Night by Trevor Oxford - Cambridge. When Gerald returns to his family home, he discovers that his father has melted, his mother is a telephone, and his twin brother Donald has married a fish. But all is not as it seems. On Saturday at 7:20, Stop Robert Robinson. Hosted by Richard Baker. This short program will attempt to stop Robert Robinson to make way for even more programs for Richard Baker.
And on Radio 2 on Sunday, the start of a new series, The Music They Play in Heaven. The story of composers Ron and Howard Gleebovich.
I remember the moment so vividly. We were looking for a new sound. It seemed there was a vacuum to be filled in 67. You know, we had the Beatles, we had heavy metal, we had rock and roll.
And on the other side of the coin, we had the greats, like Sinatra, Oscar Peterson, Peter Noon.
Well, what we wanted to create the kind of music people would listen to in lifts, or when they were buying baked beans in supermarkets.
Yeah, we laid down a demo and took it to one of the top producers, and we sat there and he listened to it. And when the tape was over, he didn't speak for 3 whole minutes.
Mm. And Ron started massaging his jaw to try and get some feeling back into it, you see.
Finally, he spoke.
Yeah.
He said, "Boys, this music is cack."
And that's what we call it, music cack.
Eventually, it's gotten shortened to just plain music.
The Music They Play in Heaven. The Ron and Howard Gleebovich Story. So was born Muzak, but where did it come from? Where are its roots? Ron Gleebovich.
If you imagine the history of popular music as a tree, the roots are the blues, the largest branch is rock and roll, the second largest branch is jazz. Now, up these two main branches, we have offshoots, rock and roll, rock, electric, punk. Now, from jazz, we get a soul branch, funk and salsa.
Where does Muzak fit on this mighty oak? Basically, it's what a dog does up this tree.
Who is the vast audience to which Muzak applies?
We wanted a sound that was easily accessible to idiots.
Yeah, but not just idiots. I mean, grandmothers, aunties, uncles, people with a wart on the side of their face with long hairs growing out of it. People you don't want to kiss at Christmas.
But what is the core of that Muzak sound?
You take a great song like Yesterday, then you remove the Beatles. Then you remove the bass. Then you put in 150 violins, 30 flutes, and get 35 singers in the background to sing La La La.
But as the 70s draw to a close with 159 different versions of Annie's song behind them, what new challenge awaits the Gleevovich brothers?
We feel we've gone about as far as we can go, cackifying music. Instead, we've now got into the disease industry. We're working on a new one at the moment called Gerpes. We may change the title.
We're looking for a disease that everyone can catch and everyone can enjoy, just like Muzak.
Excuse me, would you mind turning the radio down? I'm on the phone. Yeah. Hey, yeah, is that the RAC? Oh, that's great. Listen. I wonder, could you help me? Yeah, come on, man. Look, my car's stuck. Yeah, let's cool it. Yeah, my car's stuck on Sloan Square. Yeah. Yeah, just at the junction. Yeah. No, look, you can't miss it, mate. It's a metallic red customized Escort with raised rear wheels and a chrome exhaust. Great. No, look, hang on, mate. It's got an I Love Malibu sticker on the back. Right next. Yeah, it's just cool. Right next to the no hand signals driver necking sticker. Hey, no, he can't miss it. He can't miss it. It's got 7 aerials, all 5 feet long. It's got flames painted all down both sides. It's got 16 brake lights across the rear window. And there's a sticker on the bumper which says, I don't get mad, I get even. That's right, exclamation mark. Sorry? What's my problem? I'm a dick.
I'd do anything for your love, my darling. I'd do anything for your love, baby. I sleep for 14 hours, I'd wind up both my clocks. I'd make myself a sandwich and I'd wear a pair of socks. I'd do anything for your love, my darling. Nothing is too much for me. I'd buy some chocolate biscuits and I'd eat them with my tea. I'd smoke my favorite cigarettes and scratch my knee. These things I'd do for your love, although it may sound crazy. I love you very dearly, but I'm really rather lazy. That's how much you mean to me. I go and get a haircut, sit and watch TV. I drink a glass of water, I eat a piece of meat. I do anything for your love, my angel. I'm mad about you, can't you see? I'd climb the highest mountain and I'd wrestle with a goat. I'd sail the seven rivers on a pleasure boat. Anything for your love, my sweetie. Oh, can't you see my love is strong? Anything for your love, I swear to heaven above, except sing any more of this song.
You are listening to Radio 4.
Why?
And now on 4, before our late night close down at 9 o'clock. Adolescent Book Before Bedtime. Read tonight by Stephen Goulden, age 16.
Gangbang. by Rob Markham. Chapter 3, Why Swap Orgy. Mike could scarcely believe his eyes. Glenda stood in her peekaboo rubber suit, swishing her beautiful white thighs with her riding crop. Mike tugged half-heartedly at his bonds. In the corner, he could just make out Tania's beautiful body. About to...
Stephen!
Huh?
Oh, what are you doing in bed at this time?
I'm tired.
Half past six. Funny time to be going to bed. Ah, well, takes all sorts. Suit yourself.
He counted them. Glenda, Gloria, Tina, Babs, Linda, Joyce and Olga. He groaned. Poor Roy. Now they focused the attention of their insatiable lusts on him.
Stephen? What are you doing?
Nothing.
I've been trying to be in bed half past six, isn't it?
I'm tired.
What's this? Gangbang?
Oh, it's not mine. It's not mine.
Please.
Edward, what's going on? Hello? Why have you got a microphone in bed?
It's Charlie. He must have left it last time he came round.
You're broadcasting on Radio 4, aren't you? You're doing that dirty book at bedtime again.
No, honey. No.
Give me the microphone. Hello? Is that Radio 4? Now, listen. In future, you're not welcome round our house, you lot. A lot of you. He's a good lad, our Stephen. And you're a bad influence on him, you Radio 4 people. What you want is a cold shower.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Edgerton. And as you can hear for yourself, we're standing in the changing room shower. So this is what it would sound like, Mr. G. Upminster of Chatham, Kent. And thank you, Mrs. B. Merriweather of Suffolk, for those delicious scones. We had them with jam and cream, and they were absolutely gorgeous. Bill, you old thing, you. How many times would you say I'd had scones with jam and cream standing in the jar? About, what, six?
14 times since the war, although you have had them 8 times sitting in a bar.
It's remarkable. Remarkable. So one could say post-war aquatic scone eating is on the rise again.
Excuse me.
Hang on, I'll just switch this off. Sorry, I was just listening to the cricket.
I've come for the parents' evening. I'm looking for Mr. English, my boy's form master.
Hang on, I've got a list here. Yes. I'm Mr. English, his form master. You must be David's father.
It's my boy Paul I've come about.
Paul, of course. Paul Marks, yes. Or as he's known in our class, Full Marks. Bright boy, very, very bright boy. Bright, yes, very popular. Very popular. So what's the problem?
Well, I'm a little concerned about him being bottom of the remedials.
Bottom? Bottom? This is Paul Marks.
Yes.
Well, let me say right off. This year, the remedials is an exceptionally outstanding class. Quite the most brilliant remedials we've had since the war. Since the war, yes. And it's certainly no disgrace for a bright boy like Mark to be bottom of that bunch.
Oh, it's just my wife and I are a bit concerned, you see, because last year he was top of the A stream.
This is Paul Marks.
Yes. You see, he wants to be a doctor.
Paul Marks?
Yes. And we don't feel his courses are sort of suited to this ambition.
What courses is he taking?
Plasticine expression, dance and woodwork.
Now, Mr. Marks, you must realize we have 943 pupils at this school. And our main concern is producing a timetable with absolutely no crossings out on it. And all in the right colored ink.
Oh, I see. Well, what about learning things?
Obviously, Mr. Marks, there are casualties. We had 6 pupils who were absolutely outstanding at Latin. We couldn't fit them in, had to expel them. Unfortunately, this year's first 15 rugger team is all made up of first-year girls. Pupils who've only had 1 year of German have had to move straight on to A-level rowing. It's not perfect, I'm not pretending it is. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have had the netball teacher taking ancient Greek. What with her being mute?
Oh, yes, well... I sympathize with that, yes. But with the climate as it is today, I feel it's very important that Paul takes courses which will lead directly to a job. Mm. And I don't see what he's going to do with plasticine expression, dance and woodwork.
He could be a teacher. Or even worse, Clive James.
This is Clive James saying a smug deadpan hello and welcome to the show. If you saw Clive James on television and Clive James on B-movies, you'll like this. Clive James on speed. Just take the tablet. Wow. I feel as frisky as a tomcat on its way back from the vets. If you know me, and who does, I go in for lashings of liberal libations of alliteration. Stuff that looks really good on paper but sounds really strange when you say it out loud. About as strange as an enraged slug. About as odd as a Bo Diddley album being used as an ashtray. About as bizarre as one of my jokes being funny. And if you're all wondering what that was, it was a smile. You can tell when I'm smiling because a little wrinkle appears by the side of my eye. It's hard to spot because I always look as if I'm staring into the sun at the time of a total eclipse of the moon. That makes sense if you read it 10 times. But if you've got less than a second to assimilate it, it sounds about as sensible as the Quran in Portuguese. The strange thing about being on speed is I feel like I've been talking for hours. And that even stranger thing would be if you didn't. So I won't. Good night.
With me tonight on bookshelf is Dickie Gleason, author of a paperback that soared to number one in the bestseller list on the week of its release. Great Hoaxes of History. Dickie, let me first ask you...
My name's not Dickie.
Sorry?
Your name's Dickie.
Oh, yes, yes. What first gave you the idea for this book?
I haven't written a book.
Ah, I think you have.
No, I haven't written anything. You wrote the book. You're the author. I'm the host of this show.
Ah, that's right, yes. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Let's start again, shall we? With me tonight on bookshelf is Dickie Gleason, author of the paperback that soared to number one in the best-selling list for the first week of its release, How to Infuriate People. Dickie,
My name's Reginald.
Reginald, infuriating people is a peculiar subject.
Yeah, but please, don't call me Reginald. I know it's my name, but I hate it.
What shall I call you then?
Now, I prefer to be called Pardon.
Pardon?
I prefer to be called Pardon.
Mr. Gleason?
But call me Colin for short.
What gave you the idea for writing a book about being bloody-minded?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
You heard me.
Yes, but I'm afraid I don't speak English.
Well, here's someone who does.
You are listening to BBC Radio 4. Both of you. One of you thought it was Radio 2, and the other is changing wavelengths. Now no one is listening at all, except me. So now a quick look forward to some of the things coming my way on Radio 4. At 12:27 on Thursday, there's a chance to hear a trail for some of the things coming your way. That trail can be heard again on Saturday at the same time. Meanwhile, on Sunday at 5, Trail Classics. A chance to hear again some of the best loved trails ever trailed on the BBC. And a trail of trail classics will be trailed again at the same time on Monday. At 8 on Saturday, Margaret Howard presents Trails of the Week. A look back at some of the things, looking forward to some of the things coming your way that you've already heard. A trail for Trails of the Week can be heard on Friday, and no doubt they'll be playing clips from Trail Classics, Pick of the Trails, and probably a bit of this one. And now on for a trail.
Saturday Serials presents...
the reasonably exciting adventures of Captain Invisible and his sidekick, the See-Through Kid. Episode 7, Attack of the Killer Automatic Transmission Specialist. We join Captain Invisible and the Kid planning their next incredible move in their secret lair.
Okay, See-Through Kid, here's the plan. We go... Kid? Kid, where are you?
I'm right here, Captain Invisible.
Ah, I thought you'd gone.
No, I'm standing here beside you.
Okay, here's the plan. How do you know you're standing beside me?
Because I'm right here with you in the laboratory.
But I'm in the computer room.
Oh, but you said come into the laboratory and we'll discuss the plan.
I said come to the computer room.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, what was the plan?
Okay, where are you now?
With you in the computer room.
But I've just come to the laboratory. Look, just stay where you are. Don't move.
Okay.
Okay, here's the plan. Right? Hey there?
I was nodding. Sorry.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Here's the plan.
Excuse me, don't stand so close. I can feel your breath on my nose. What have you been eating?
I thought you were sitting in the chair.
I am sitting in the chair.
Ah, well, that's not my breath.
Meanwhile, in the robber's hideout, Dr. Evil and his henchmen are sharing out their booty.
Say, boss, you said I could have 5%. You buffoon, that is 5%. But there's 10 here.
Say, look out! It's Captain Invisible!
And the See-Through Kid! No, it's not! It's just the breeze blew open the door!
Oh, I thought it was Captain Invisible!
And the See-Through Kid! No, it was just the breeze!
Boss!
What?
The breeze is punching me in the face!
So it is Captain Invisible after all!
Hey, maybe it's just someone who looks like him!
No, it is me, Captain Invisible, and my trusty sidekick, the See-Through Kid. Kid? Are you here? Kid? Sorry, it's just me, Captain Invisible, on his own.
No, I'm here, Cap.
With his trusty sidekick, the see-through kid.
Yeah, but I'm on their side. Take that, Captain Invisible. Take that, and that, and that, and that.
Take what?
Hey, aren't you standing by the table?
No.
Oh. Hey, on second thought, I'm back on your side, Captain.
Okay, let's round them up and take them in.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Evil. This way.
What way?
This way.
This way?
No, this way.
Over here?
No, over here.
And so, another boring adventure closes. And we join Captain Invisible back in his secret lair.
Well, that just about wraps up another dull adventure.
There's just one thing, Captain Invisible.
What's that, see-through?
I was on this toilet first.
Oh, my God.
That was Son of Cliché, featuring Chris Barry, Nick Maloney, and Nick Wilton. Music by Peter Brewis and the Son of Cliché Big Band. The program was written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor. It was produced by Alan Nixon, and the credits were read by me, your Radio 4 announcer. Yes, me, who gets paid by the number of words I can squeeze into 30 seconds. And the rate I'm going at the moment, I'm talking out an absolute fortune. Enough, in fact, for that Caribbean holiday I've always dreamt of. Enough even for the course of flying lessons, my own helicopter, perhaps even my own airline company, the rate I'm spanking along at the moment. And all by the simple expedient of not breathing while I'm reading this announcement. The only drawback being the longer I go on, the dizzier I get, and the greyer my face goes, since the oxygen gets sucked out of my body. But that doesn't matter, because I'll be able to afford the absolute best in medical treatment and heart resuscitation the instant I collapse. And that can't be far off now, as the room whirls before me a strange light sensation in the top of my skull. And yes, I believe my life is just about spent as I die. A very rich man indeed.
Hermann Göring, the year is 1941, and you and Frau Göring meet someone who is destined to become a lifelong friend and the most feared and ruthlessly efficient torturer in the entire SS. Hermann Göring, can you remember this voice?